the Buckmaster Show. It's Tuesday, the 17th of January, 2012, and I am Bill Buckmaster, your host for the Buckmaster Show on KVOI, The Voice, Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station. And a big shout out and hello to our friends in Globe listening on KJAA AM 1240, and in Douglas, it's KAPR AM 930, serving all of Cochise County. We are live streaming the show at buckmastershow.com and at kvoi.com, and there are three anytime listening venues for you: buckmastershow.com, tucsonsentinel.com, and tucsoncitizen.com. We're live Monday through Friday, noon to 1. We'll begin with Dr. Victoria Mazes, the Executive Director of the University of Arizona Center, based at the University of Arizona Center for Integrative Medicine. 20 minutes past the hour, certified financial planner Shelley Fishman has the Tuesday Money Maker Report. Shelley has a big smile on his face this morning because the market's doing pretty darn well, up over 100 points. 30 minutes past the hour, State Senator Ron Gould will join us talking about his very controversial legislation that would allow guns on campus. And then we'll close out the show with Hank Amos. Mr. Amos heads up Tucson Realty. He'll have his annual assessment of the commercial real estate scene. We encourage you always to be a part of the conversation. The Buckmaster Show live line 790-2040. You can always email questions at buckmastershow.com or submit them using the Buckmaster Show Facebook page. We begin with Dr. Victoria Mazes. She is the monthly contributor to the Buckmaster Show on Health. She's the executive director of the Arizona Center for Integrative Medicine and professor of medicine, family, and community medicine and public health at the University of Arizona. Dr. Mazes is an internationally recognized leader in integrative medicine. She lectures worldwide to academic and community audiences on integrative medical education, women's health, healthy aging, nutrition, and cancer. Her most recent book, she co-authored Integrative Women's Health. Dr. Mazes, how are you?
I'm well, thank you, and delighted to be here.
Well, it's always good to see you, and I'm going to begin with asking you, how are you doing on your health-oriented resolution that we discussed in late December?
Well, we did talk about New Year's resolutions, and I had set a goal for myself to meditate every day, and I'd say I'm doing pretty well. I've missed a few days, and that's really where the rubber hits the road. It's not really if you're ever going to mess up. We're human beings. We're not perfect. We mess up sometimes. I always tell my patients, the question is, how quickly do you get back to that healthy behavior once you've messed up?
Well, I'll give you an update on my situation. I had said I would like to lose in 2012 20 pounds, now 10 pounds. So let's call it 5. Let's start with 5. And down a couple, 1 or 2 pounds since we last talked, and mainly by making the sugar portion much, much less. The cookies, smaller cookies.
Well, that's wonderful. And, you know, you actually just described a way of giving yourself feedback, which is stepping on the scale and seeing how you're doing. And that's a long-standing device that many of us use for feedback. But it is interesting to consider, you know, what other tools you can use for feedback. For example, for people who are setting up an exercise goal, a pedometer can be a wonderful tool to use.
Yeah, the pedometer is a really simple way to do it, measuring the steps that you take in a day. And I was into that a couple of years ago, got away from it. But as I recall, I think something like about 10,000 steps was pretty good for a day.
That's exactly right. That's what's recommended. And I think people are often astonished to find out when they put on a pedometer how few steps they may be taking in their life. Sometimes people say, but I'm moving all day or I'm walking. And yet when they actually measure it, they come up with 2,000 or 3,000, which means they've really got to then think about what can they do to increase the number of steps. So that's another great example of a personal feedback device that then allows you to meet your goal, which is the 10,000 steps.
How about a smartphone?
Well, that's, I think, what's coming. And this is really exciting. The types of applications that are on the smartphones, many of them are free, that can help you with all kinds of feedback, whether it's, you know, how well are you doing taking your birth control pill or your diabetes medication or whatever it may be, tracking how well you're doing on that, to things like measuring your temperature or your EKG. There's a new research project going on right now. In fact, I saw that the head of the NIH, Francis Collins, agreed to participate in it. And on the smartphone, there's two little electrodes, and you wear it on your body, and it measures your EKG, your electrocardiogram.
Really? It's like a little mobile EKG device.
That's exactly right. Yes, yeah. Yes. And so we're beginning to see many, many different tools that could be measured, and some of them are very innovative. For example, there's a group at MIT that's looking at measuring depression. It turns out when people are depressed, they have fewer calls, they have less interaction with other people, sometimes they go out of their houses less, and so they actually can track for depression by watching people's behaviors and habits as informed by your smartphone.
That one is very interesting about depression. As you know, Dr. Andy Weil was with us in talking about happiness, your colleague at the University of Arizona and founder of the Center for Integrative Medicine, spent a half hour with us here on the Buckmaster Show. Very interesting stuff, Dr. Mazes, as you know, about what Dr. Weil is talking about with his latest book about happiness. And keeping that happiness journal is very important when you first wake up in the morning, perhaps jotting down a couple of things that you really believe that you have to be thankful for.
Yes. So the gratitude journal is something that Dr. Weil brought forth in the book. It comes out of positive psychology, and the idea is that each day you put down three things you're particularly grateful for, and it turns out that by focusing on things that you're grateful for, even just for a short period of time, several weeks, it has a long-lasting effect on your overall sense of happiness, and it's such an easy thing to do.
One of the things that we are trying to do at the Buckmaster household is eating right. And when I say eating right, perhaps maybe more salads, just eating better in 2012. Any suggestions? We've talked about a Mediterranean diet before. That's probably a good starting point.
Well, you know, we often talk about the Mediterranean diet, and I'm a huge proponent of it because it has this effect on reducing inflammation in the body. It has all these protective phytonutrients that have been shown to reduce your risk of cancer, of heart disease, of depression, of Alzheimer's. It's just been studied in so many different areas. But I thought you'd be interested to find out that U.S. News, you know, which is always rating colleges, well,
yeah,
this year they rated the best overall diets.
Really?
And actually, the Mediterranean diet came in kind of tied for second place.
Huh.
The first place went to the DASH diet. Now, the scores were really, really close, but the DASH diet is one that people may want to take a look at. It DASH stands for Dietary Approaches to Stop Hypertension. So it's actually an eating plan as opposed to a diet that you'd go off of. But by following the DASH diet, you are able to reduce your blood pressure. For some people, that's going to mean that they won't need to take medication for their blood pressure. If they have a mild to moderate elevation in blood pressure, there's a pretty good chance that the DASH diet will help them, you know, so that they won't actually need to take medication.
Can you tell us a little bit about what does the DASH diet do that's different from, say, the Mediterranean diet?
Yes, it is an interesting diet. It has a lot of similarities, but the difference is there's actually a focus on dairy and having a number of servings of low-fat or non-fat dairy each day. It also focuses on increasing fruits and vegetables, which is, of course, a principle of the Mediterranean diet, and on eating grains beans, and it cuts back on meat and on fat. So the cutting back on meat is similar to the Mediterranean diet, but of course the Mediterranean diet allows you to eat quite a bit of fat. Up to 40% of your calories can come from fat. So that's another difference. It's been very well studied, and if people want the very specific details or meal plans, etc., all of that is available if you Google DASH diet, and it's through the National Heart, Lung, and Blood Institute that you'll get that information.
Would Greek yogurt be okay under the DASH diet?
Well, I think it would depend. Some Greek yogurt is whole fat and some of it is lower and non-fat. So you'd probably need to look at the fat content to decide whether or not it fit into the DASH diet. It certainly would fit into a Mediterranean diet, and in general is a healthy food and also has those probiotics, those friendly bacteria that are really good for your gut.
Because I have added it to my morning oatmeal, mm-hmm. have the oatmeal and a Greek yogurt. And the Greek yogurt is really packed, from what I understand, with protein. It does seem to give you a little bit of an energy boost in the morning.
Yes, and also it's satiating, so you don't get hungry as quickly. And there has been some research when you look at the individual factors of what helps people lose weight over time, which is often a concern for folks. And apparently eating yogurt is one of the foods that has been shown to help people keep weight off over time. Now, I don't think that it has been clearly determined whether that's from the probiotics, but I would bet it is. If I was a betting person, I would bet on those probiotics.
And again, we've been talking about the DASH diet. That's D-A-S-H. And this is a diet that is very, very friendly for those, or would be friendly for those who have had hypertension issues in the past and have been on some kind of hypertension medication. Perhaps you might even be able to lower what you're taking or get off entirely.
That's exactly right, yes. And so, for blood pressure, getting back to those feedback devices, a lot of people monitor their own blood pressure. I don't think we have an app for that yet, but remember, there's always a pen and paper. Some folks like to keep an Excel spreadsheet, but we have these ways of really monitoring ourselves and keeping ourselves on track for our resolution.
Yep, and take the blood pressure at home, because it might be different in the doctor's office for those of us who suffer from white coat syndrome. But that's for that's for another topic. Dr. Victoria Mazes, thanks for being with us. We'll see you in February. Thanks.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our citizens realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and create a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in and support of education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's Pima Community College students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a literate, prosperous, thriving Tucson and Pima County. During these extraordinarily tough times, our funding is in serious jeopardy. And as budgets get even tighter, we'll have to cut back services just when people need us the most. So please support us in our ongoing effort to build a better tomorrow. Help us provide the education and resources that the people of Pima County need today. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us on the web at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Hi, Meg. I see you're cleaning out the garage.
Not exactly. I'm trying to find Grandma Lynn's clock, for what it's worth.
For what?
What's it worth with a Z? It's an antiques appraisal fundraising event on February 12th at the Doubletree Hotel. You can bring in two items, have them appraised by those famous appraisers, you see on TV.
Famous appraisers?
Yeah, Colleen Fesco, Michael Flanagan.
How much does it cost, and what can I have appraised?
A $60 ticket, woman, admits two people, and you can bring up to two items. items. You can bring furniture, jewelry, china, rugs, paintings, whatever. The proceeds go to help children in need in Tucson.
Where can I buy tickets?
You can buy your tickets online at whatsitworth.org. That's What's It with a Z. Wait, where are you going?
I'm going to find my two items for What's It Worth. I love Michael Flanagan, and it's for a good cause. See you there.
Proceeds benefit Assistance League of Tucson.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencia and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Ever notice how much time you spend just getting where you want to go? Travel hassles, long drives, expensive parking can all ruin your trip and create a miserable experience. Tucson International Airport has the answer. With close, easy parking, quick check-in, a short walk to your gate, and airport amenities that make traveling stress-free and enjoyable. With nonstop destinations and connections around the world for business or for pleasure, fly TucsonAirport.com. It's the way to go.
Listed on the National Register of Historic Places and founded in 1930 by Isabella Greenway, Arizona's first congresswoman, the Arizona Inn still sets the standard for luxury hospitality in Midtown Tucson, just minutes from the University of Arizona. The Arizona Inn continues to win top honors for hospitality and dining. The Arizona Inn has again been named one of the best 500 hotels on earth by Travel and Leisure magazine, the only hotel in Tucson to receive this top honor. And the Inn is proud of its AAA four diamond status for both the hotel and dining room. Whether it's for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or a private event, you can count on Chef Allison's featured seasonal culinary creations to please. The Arizona Inn, a special oasis of hospitality in Midtown Tucson at 2200 East Elm and on the web at arizonainn.com.
Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial services professional located at Pyramid Federal Credit Union. The opinions voiced on this program segment are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing.
And here he is, the man himself, Shelley Fishman. He's got a big smile on his face, as I said at the beginning of the show today, because market is up about 100 points. What about your New Year's resolution? Probably to make money for your clients, Shelley.
Well, right, exactly. To keep doing what we've been doing and to keep doing it with as little stress as possible.
You know, we're hearing a lot about venture capital and venture capital firms. It's come up in the Republican race for president because of Mr. Romney's association with Bain, I believe that's the
right.
name of
Bain
the company.
Capital.
Yeah. So what is a venture capital firm?
Okay. Well, you know, clearly when you have a lot of political rhetoric around, you're going to get distortions. A venture capital or a private equity firm is a firm that raises capital from external sources and invests it in other firms. They can do this in pretty much in two general ways, and I'm generalizing, of course, making it overly simple. You know, one is to invest in companies that are just starting up. And companies that are starting up, an engineer, an inventor, an idea person has an idea for a company, and they put that idea together and they make the round of venture capital firms to try to raise several tiers of financing. And in that case, the venture capital firm plays a very useful function because they're building something and they're providing management guidance. Very often the venture capital firm will assist that company in staffing the firm and providing, for instance, a professional financial manager or HR manager or some other kinds of resources that that company needs besides, say, a great engineering idea
so
or
it's
great
a
great internet idea.
They're a foundation builder in that case.
Right. And they will also help that company know when it's time to help the founders kind of step aside and bring in a professional management group as well. With all venture capital firms, with all private equity firms, regardless of how they're doing it, the key word is always exit strategy. They do not want to remain the owners of that firm forever. They want to get their money and get out. And the sooner they can do that, of course, the sooner they can take that money and reinvest it somewhere else. So there's the building kind, and that's good for jobs. I mean, but then there's the vulture kind, to use Rick Perry's term. There's the venture capital firm or part of a venture capital firm. And in Bain Capital's case, they apparently did both kinds of financing. It's not clear what the proportions were because it's not a publicly held firm. Their reporting requirements are less than a publicly held firm. But there they'll look for a troubled firm. They'll look for firms that are in trouble, and they'll rate it. They'll go in there. They'll buy that company either on the public market or from whoever might own it, and they'll shed the troubled assets. Who's ever in that part of the firm loses their jobs instantly. Then they'll restructure or slim down what's left and sell the parts if they can as soon as they can to either companies that want to buy it, or sometimes it's intellectual capital that's the only thing there. People lose jobs in that case.
That looks like the word that pops out is kind of vulture in that case.
Exactly. They're picking over the remains and they're making a buck at it. Now, keep in mind, Bill, this is all legal and there's nothing wrong with it. There are other ways to save troubled companies. This is just one of them. There are some ways of saving troubled companies that might be less ruthless and less destructive of jobs. But this gets the job done. So it's part of our economic system. It's neither good nor bad. It is what it is.
So the publicity that we've all been hearing about with Bain and Romney, you think some of that might be overblown?
Well, I think both sides are right and both sides are wrong. it's not possible to know, I think, from the record right now, what parts of Bain did what and what the proportions were of building and destroying. It's clear they did some of both.
But bottom line is, in our economic system, there's a place for this.
Oh, sure. Yes. In fact, there's even an economic word for it. It's called something destruction. My gosh, I just had a brain dead moment. But it's where you have to destroy something in order to save it. There's a Darwinian approach to that can very well be necessary and doable.
The market is up, Shelley. Europe and China, how are the markets reacting?
Well, everybody's a little bit surprised at what happened after the sovereign debt downgrades of, 17 countries in Europe. The market has kind of gone, oh, ho-hum, another downgrade.
Yeah, the market really didn't react very negatively to
that.
No,
it didn't. No. And I think one of the things that produced the positive impetus for the markets was China announced that its last quarter growth was at the 8% rate, which I think everybody breathed a sigh of relief that it wasn't less than that. China has been growing for the past 30 years at around 10% a year in a slowdown, general worldwide slowdown. 8% is awfully good. And of course, when China is growing, the rest of the world is benefiting.
And the markets seem to be factoring in, unlike last year, what is going on in Europe. They seem to have accepted this.
A lot of it is in the price, and a lot of it is people holding their breath and hoping that the Europeans will, over the next, 2 or 3 or 5 years, get all of this worked out. And I think there's some general optimism that it will work out. These are difficult problems for Europe, though.
Shelley Fishman is with us with the Tuesday Money Maker Report. And speaking of making money, your clients have been calling you end of year. We talked a little bit about this last week, and they are you the advice you're giving? Let's take a look at the portfolio.
Yeah, exactly. We take a look at the portfolio, and the most important thing you can do, I think, in end year or beginning of the year review is see where you need to rebalance and restore the contract you have with that client in terms of this is the proper allocation, this is the allocation we're going to restore because, for instance, if you have one sector growing 30%, another sector losing 10%, what you started with is not where you end. So you have to reallocate things and you just reconfirm where you think the market's going for the year, and then you do that reallocation. But autopilot is not acceptable.
No, it is not. Shelley Fishman, folks can get a hold of you at
795-7950. Bill.
And stop by and say hello to Shelley at Pyramid Credit
you
Union.
Bet. Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Shelley. Have a great week. Coming up now on the bottom of the hour, 30 minutes past on the Buckmaster Show, we'll speak with State Senator Ron Gould. He is the very controversial senator who wants to allow have weapons allowed on college and university campuses. That's next. Stay with us.
The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not necessarily those of LPL Financial, Pyramid Federal Credit Union, or this station. Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial planner located at Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Securities and insurance products offered through LPL Financial and its affiliates. Member FINRA. Pyramid Federal Credit Union is not a registered broker-dealer, nor is it affiliated with LP Financial.
SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Mitt Romney says he will release his tax returns in April, and they will show that he pays close to 15% of his income in taxes. The multimillionaire has been under pressure from his rivals for the GOP presidential nomination and others to release the information. Supporters of an effort to force Wisconsin's governor from office are planning today to turn in signatures on their recall petitions. They say they'll have more than enough signatures to require a recall vote for Governor Scott Walker. Get back on the boat. That was the order from the Italian Coast Guard to the captain of a cruise ship that turned on its side after hitting some rocks along the Italian coast on Friday. The captain left the ship ahead of a lot of other people. On Wall Street, the Dow trading about 95 points higher. More details at srnnews.com.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencia and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Biro Amore presents Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza using fresh, homemade mozzarella and the finest quality toppings. Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Biro Amore. Casual yet upscale dining with an extensive boutique wine list. Biro Amore in Tucson on North Swan at Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at viroamorepizza.com. And now in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoAZ.net.
Bye.
3 on the Buckmaster Show, and I am Bill Buckmaster, your host. We are here Monday through Friday live on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice, Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station. The Buckmaster Show live line, 790-2040, 790-2040. We'd love to have you go to the Buckmaster Show Facebook page and, of course, the BuckmasterShow.com site. There you will see our show pledge. Listener opinions matter. Respect the audience. Forum for ideas, quality guests, and informed listeners. That is the Buckmaster Show pledge. Joining us on the Buckmaster Show, Republican State Senator Ron Gould from Lake Havasu City in northwestern Arizona. He was elected to the State Senate in 2004, previously was a Lake Havasu City Councilman. Senator Gould last week announced he is entering the race for his party's nomination for the 4th Congressional District seat. That's in the newly drawn District 4. It's a heavily Republican district. It runs all the way from western Arizona through Prescott and south into parts of Pinal County. Senator Gould's announcement sets up a three-way GOP primary race with Pinal County Sheriff Paul Babu and the current District 1 Representative Paul Gosar. And Senator Gould, thank you for being on the Buckmaster Show.
Oh, thank you for inviting.
Tell me, why did you decide, Senator Gould, to take a run at Congress?
Well, that's a rural district. The new 4th district is mostly rural, and I think they deserve a rural representation from somebody that actually lives in the district.
And what are the big issues going to be? That's going to be it looks like a very interesting three-way GOP race.
It'll be a race for, I would expect to see who is actually the most conservative candidate.
And why
I'm actually a proven conservative. I've spent almost 8 years in the legislature fighting tax hikes, trying to reduce the size of government and expanding your freedom and your Second Amendment rights.
So you think you're the most conservative of those three candidates?
Sure, and even the Arizona Republic has called me the most conservative of my opponents.
I want to talk a little bit about your bill requiring public universities and colleges to allow guns on campus. Speaking of the Arizona Republic, they had an editorial over the weekend saying that law and order is a favorite topic for legislators, so this year they should listen to university police chiefs. Don't allow guns. What do you say to that?
That's the same thing that we get from police chiefs across the United States. Generally, police chiefs are not supportive of the individual right to keep and bear arms. Well, so I wouldn't expect that college police chiefs are any different.
Why do you think it would be a good idea to allow guns on campus?
Well, essentially, it's been a good idea to allow the carrying of concealed weapons in the state in general. If you look at recent crime statistics, Arizona's drop in crime is twice that of the national average. The national average is about 7. Arizona's drop is about 15. Cities that have, and states that have heavy gun control, like New York City, their crime rate only dropped 5%.
Senator Gould is with us on the Buckmaster Show. Perhaps you disagree that guns have no place on campus. You can call us at 790-2040, or perhaps you agree with Senator Gould. We'd like to hear from you either way at 790-2040. Do you see firearms, Senator, on campus as more of a safety issue or a Second Amendment issue?
In reality, it's a safety issue. The Second Amendment to the Constitution allows us to have guns to protect us from a government that might become oppressive. But this is clearly a personal safety issue. You know, and you actually have a natural right that goes beyond your Second Amendment rights to defend yourself. And, you know, what the bill does is says that if you're you hold a concealed carry permit, that you'll be allowed to carry in the parking lot and on campus, but that the Board of Regents, College Board, can prohibit you from carrying into the buildings as long as they provide storage. So that we passed a similar bill through the legislature last year, vetoed by the governor. It was what we call constitutional carry, that any law-abiding citizen over 21 could carry. But by the time it got through the legislative stock-making program, you know, where we grind things up, it was not very clear. And the governor vetoed. So what we tried to do this year is make it clear and clean and limit it to concealed carry permit holders as the governor requested.
So do you believe then that some of her concerns have been addressed then this time around?
Oh, I believe we have addressed the governor's concerns.
What is, going back to the all three university police chiefs opposing last year's bill, which with reasons that included the difficulty of picking out an active shooter in the midst of armed bystanders. What's your view on that?
That very rarely happens in the real world. I think it's a straw man argument. And in reality, what the concealed carry of firearms does is it lets criminals know that this is not a gun-free zone, that there might be people there put up a defense. So generally, these psychotics that do these kind of things, they go places nobody can be armed. And that's where they generally try to do their dastardly deeds. But part of the upside of concealed carry is that the bad guys don't know who's carrying a gun. And that reduces crime. This is a college campus where a majority of the people, overwhelming majority of the people, are adults, and which makes it really no different than any place else in the public. If I go into a big box retailer, most big box retailers allow me to carry my concealed weapon in their premises. We don't see these kind of things happen in big box retailers. I doubt that they would happen on a college that kind of scenario would happen on a college campus.
What do you think the sentiment is to pass this bill?
Oh, I think it'll be pretty well. It passed almost unanimously out of the Senate last year. And I believe it passed. I think I only lost two Republican votes in the House.
We're speaking with...
And this is clearly a more limited bill than the bill that ran last year.
We're speaking with State Senator Ron Gould, speaking with us from the state capitol. Are there any other issues of gun safety that you think the legislature should address this session?
You want to repeat that? I got a little click in there and missed part of
it. Yeah, I just wondered if there are any other issues regarding gun safety that you and your colleagues should be addressing this session.
You know, one of the things I think we need to not so much address with legislation, but actually promote a little bit, is several years ago we passed a bill that would allow gun safety education in public schools, in K-12 education. And it would be done by certified gun instructors. And the reason that I feel that that's important is that a lot of times children come across guns, there's no adult supervision. So they need to know how to behave safely around a gun. You know, they'll go to somebody else's house where somebody might have a gun, and they don't need to know how to deal with that situation. And I think that's what that training program provides them.
You know, looking at the broader picture of the legislative session, it looks like budget surplus is going to be coming up. Do you think how should that be handled? The budget surplus.
I think it's a disingenuous of the press to report this is actually budget surplus, because we've taken on $1.2 billion in debt in the last few years. That debt needs to be paid back before we call it a budget surplus. You know, it's not really a surplus when we don't own the state capital. You know, we need to take a look at that. We also need to set ourselves up for two upcoming events. One is the advent of Obamacare, which we feel is going to cost the state about $50 million. And also expiration of Governor Brewer's 1 cent sales tax, you know, which said that she will not allow, if the legislature had a weak moment and they decided to send out a bill to continue that tax, that the governor would not support that.
So I would
that $1 billion is going away also.
Yeah, I'd assume you would not be in favor of extending that 1 cent sales tax on education.
No, I'm not in favor of the original tax. And actually, it was myself and Senator Pamela Gorman that held up that tax for 9 months to keep it from going to the ballot.
Senator Gould.
I felt that there was plenty of money to cut in the budget, that we would have done better if we would have actually taken a look at spending rather than going to a tax increase, because it damages the economy.
Senator Gould, thanks for spending a few minutes with us on the Buckmaster Show here in Tucson. Thanks a lot. Have a good day.
Well, thank you, and you have a great day. God bless.
Thank you very much. Ron Gould with us, Republican from Lake Havasu City, coming up now on 1244 on the Buckmaster Show. How is the commercial real estate in the scene doing? Better than the residential area? We'll find out from Hank Amos. That's next as we continue on the Buckmaster Show Tuesday edition.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Everyone's piling on big banks nowadays, with good reason. But still, you're skeptical about moving your money. We get it. But let's think about that. If you're worried about convenience, Pyramid Federal Credit Union has local branches and thousands of fee-free ATMs nationwide. If you're worried about service, at Pyramid, you're a member. At big banks, you're a number. There's a difference. And if you're worried about savings, Pyramid Federal Credit Union has better rates and fewer fees than big banks. Like our great low 4.5% APR on new, used, or refinanced vehicle loans with terms up to 60 months. Plus, save another 0.25% with payment options. So Pyramid wins on convenience, service, and savings. If you're still skeptical about moving your money, try us out. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life. Visit PyramidFCU.com to learn how. 4.5% APR on vehicle loans for a limited time. Restrictions may apply. Membership eligibility required. NCUA insured.
From antique to contemporary, Persia to Pakistan, Tibet to Turkey, Karimi Oriental Rugs brings the world to Tucson at the corner of East Fort Lowell and Dodge. Owner-operator Amir Karimi personally selects the world's finest exquisite hand-woven rugs. Sale, purchase, wash, repair, restore, and appraise. East Fort Lowell and Dodge for Karimi Oriental Rugs and KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero More, Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza, topped with the finest, freshest quality ingredients. Enjoy casual yet upscale dining while sampling our extensive boutique wine list. Vero More in Tucson at North Swan and Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain and Marana, and on the web at veromorepizza.com. And now open in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of healthcare in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received two 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoAZ.net.
Well, 47 on the Buckmaster Show. We're home of Buckmaster is AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. And the Buckmaster Show live line is always open during our live hour here Monday through Friday. It's always open for you at 790-2040. You are always welcome to join in the conversation with our various newsmakers who are joining us on the Buckmaster Show. Well, is the commercial real estate market improving, more so perhaps than the very dismal residential scene? We'll explore that question now with Hank Amos. Hank is the chairman and CEO of Tucson Realty and Trust. Mr. Amos is issuing his annual assessment this week on the Tucson commercial real estate scene. Hank, good to see you.
Good to see you. Thank you for having me.
You know, we're always happy to have you come on every 6 months. You put out a report mid-year and then the end of the year, beginning of the year report. Are things a little brighter? Is there some light at the end of the tunnel in your industry?
Yes. We think probably the worst is behind us right now. you know, 11 was a lot like 10, and everybody was just kind of slugging it out. Things weren't really happening, not a lot of velocity, not a lot of transactions. But we definitely feel that, you know, the worst is behind us and that we'll probably see a slow, gradual increase in commercial real estate and business as we go through the year. A lot of that has to do with consumer confidence and business confidence. And not to make a political statement, but a lot of it has to do with maybe what's going to happen in the election. And there's a perception among business that the White House and kind of some of the things that have been happening there haven't really been pro-business, bashing on Wall Street, more taxes, Obamacare, a lot of regulation and all. And they feel that business feels that there's a change there that can bode well and the shackles will be kind of released and they can go and start producing and growing and manufacturing and then we could be hiring more individuals so the job market would get better. And then with all that, consumer confidence and business confidence would pick up, and that's the key. And when consumer confidence and business confidence picks up, then you're going to see that trickle down to real estate. So we think that 2012 is going to be probably a turning point. The worst is behind us. It's not going to be a great year, but it will start moving forward, and that will be more so as the year moves on.
Let's take a look at the land overview. And one of the figures that jumped out at me, only 1,438 building permits were issued in Pima County in 2011. That's down 23% from the previous year. And Hank, that is down, as you well know, from at one point 12,000 permits that were issued annually just a few years ago.
So hard to believe. To think that we have a population in the general metro area of 1 million people and that you would only build 1,438 homes, and when we used to do 12,000. So, but there's a story there, and the story, really the big story in land, is the number of finished lots for builders. And there's only about 5,500, but in the core market, there's less than 1,500. So when you look at the fact that we used to do 12,000, and we're not going to be doing 12,000 permits anytime soon, but you can see that the supply of finished lots is very thin at best. And so the big story there is as the economy improves, you're going to see this rush to purchase these lots, not for this year, but more in anticipation for 2013 and beyond, because that's when the builders think that we're going to see an increase in the residential market there. That's really the big story. And so those lots will be priced at a premium because there's not that many of them. There's not a lot of rezoning on platted lots to be platted. And so ultimately the consumer will have to pay more for a new home. Now, the story, the take home right here is that there's still a better opportunity or what's happening is there's more bang for the buck in the resale market than a new home. And really now, if you've been thinking about buying a home, really now's the time to buy because the prices are really at the lowest they're going to be and the interest rates are very low. So the alignment is perfect. And if you've been thinking about when I should buy and you're trying to time it, probably now's the time to do that.
Yeah, it looks like we're really very close to the bottom. Tucson office market is at about 16% vacancy. You're predicting slow improvement in that area. That 16%, give us some idea. Is that kind of where we were last year?
It's probably pretty much where we were last year, but the big news there again is that Phoenix is at 26%.
Wow.
So there's a lot more vacancy in Phoenix. We saw a lot of rent abatement or lease negotiation with current tenants. Not anything everybody's proud of, but basically the tenants are saying, hey, look, I'm having a tough time. I'm not making it anymore. You need to give me a break. The landlord really didn't like that much, but they didn't want to lose the tenant. So their deals were being made, and that's pretty much been behind us too. But that's what we saw last year. Again, now is the time probably to expand. There's not a lot of space out there, but rates are probably at the lowest we've seen in years. And so if you want to take advantage of that opportunity, now would be a good time to do it. And when you do that, You can get a lower rate if you decide to say, hey, I'll take the space as is, or I'll do the tenant improvements myself. You get a little bit of a tax deal when you do your own tenant improvements, and you'll get a better rate. So just keep that in mind. But now, if you've been thinking about expanding or moving to, you know, better digs, now's probably the time to do that in office.
Hank Amos is with us on the Buckmaster Show. He heads up Tucson Realty and Trust. The retail market, let's face it, Hank, you drive around Tucson and your favorite looks like empty, like a bombshell has hit some of these strip malls especially. It's not a pretty sight.
It's not a pretty – and it's all basically tied, again, to the economy, what we've gone through, but jobs. And when there's not any jobs or people are taking pay cuts, people aren't spending as much. But another factor that's kind of affect retail a little bit is the internet. You know, nowadays, you know, you can get online, buy what you want. You can find it, you know, on various websites, you know, the cheapest, and have it sent to you. In many cases, you know, you have to pay for the shipping. So the internet, the job market has obviously had an impact, you know, on retail. But some good news, you know, Walmart's is opening 5 new projects that will employ about 950 jobs. Quickmart and Circle K are kind of duking it out here in our community and opening their new era stores. We saw vacancy rates actually improve a little bit. They were just around 9%. It's about 8.5%. And that total absorption for the year was about 376,000. So there's been some improvement, but it is a little depressing when you go down the street. But eventually, new retailers will take some of that space, and that's just kind of like the circle of life.
Whole Foods will be expanding in the Tucson area as well. And for those folks living in the foothills, that is very good news. That space there at the River Center, the northeast corner of River and Craycroft, that grocery space has been vacant for years now. I think there might have been an Albertsons in there at one time, but Whole Foods will be occupying
it. Great addition for that center.
Yeah, that is really a good addition. We haven't talked about industrial space. What's the vacancy rate there?
Well, and the vacancy rate in industrial actually went up about 11.3%, and that's mainly due to the fact that it's, you know, industrial space is based upon manufacturing growth, aka jobs, and again, you don't have a great job market, but also the residential market where the home builders are involved here. So you have all the suppliers to the home builders. If there's not a lot of home building, all those suppliers kind of dry up and they disappear, and they are the ones who take that industrial space. So we actually have seen through the last couple of years the vacancy rate increase in industrial. Sad to see, but it's great for people who might want to find their own space, is that we've seen prices drop about 30 to 40% from 2007 levels. So there's some great opportunities there. But the good story in industrial is that we have a couple buildings. We have a number of buildings that are over 100,000 square feet. And in Phoenix, there are hardly any, maybe just one or two, if not any, in Phoenix that fit that footprint. So when you have companies that are looking to relocate to Arizona, they might look at Phoenix, but there's nothing there. They can come down to Tucson. So I think what we're going to see in 2012 is some activity in that larger footprint. We're going to see some companies come in, take advantage of that space because, you know, Arizona's gotten very aggressive in, as far as trying to, with new legislation that was passed last year to attract business to the state of Arizona. Our tax rate, our tax structure is better than what you see like in Illinois and California. Businesses that are working on the margins need to find any way they can, so they're going to probably relocate. They'll look to Texas. Hopefully, they'll stop here in Arizona. Tucson could be the beneficiary just because there's a lack of space. I think you're going to see a couple companies coming in next year with some good jobs.
And you say that there is space, immediate occupancy up to 400,000 square feet, and that's a pretty big
Yeah, we have a couple
right?
over 100,000 and over 400. We're working with one firm that's looking over 200,000, another that's over 100,000, another that's looking around 80,000. So there's a couple companies that are really definitely looking at Tucson right now.
So overall, we've talked about land, we talked about retail, industrial. How's downtown doing? Is there anything?
You know, downtown is starting to get that new hip little vibe.
It's
really it's starting to take off. You have some great restaurants, the Hub. They just opened up, I think, was the Playground, which is right next
door.
But
does that translate into your area, the
It does, because what ends up happening is it's the chicken, the egg, you know, who comes first and who's attracting. But right now, it's a little bit like Miami. Granted, not like South Beach in that scene at all. But they had to have the art came down there and the restaurants came down there. And when that happened and it became a place to be, then you saw the residential, and we're starting to see the residential component being built downtown, you know, for that attraction to the University of Arizona. And when you have the retail getting better and the residential getting better, then you'll see, you know, the more retail and more office down there.
Hank Amos from Tucson Realty and Trust, thank you for your overview of how we are looking as we begin 2012 in the commercial real estate sector. Thanks a lot, Hank.
Thank you.
The Buckmaster Show is brought to you in part by Flowers Rieger and Associate Certified Public Accountants. If you're looking for a CPA, and many people are this time of year, tax time, I highly recommend Michael C. Flowers, 2919 East Broadway, and on the web at flowersrieger.com. That's going to do it for the Tuesday edition of the Buckmaster Show, and we will be up with you tomorrow live right here on KVOI AM 1030. The Voice, we have a leadoff interview tomorrow with Dr. Joaquin Ruiz. He is the Dean of the College of Science at the U of A. Also, Fletcher McCusker, downtown advocate, joins us. That and more on the Buckmaster Show on the Wednesday edition. Have a great afternoon.
KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. 930 KAPR Douglas. And 1240 KJAA Globe, the Voice Radio Network.